Of healthcare is one of the most punishing costs for families and for businesses and for our government. It's forcing people to cut back or go without health insurance. It forces small businesses to choose between hiring or healthcare. It's plunging the federal government deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. The young people who are here, you've heard stories, some of you guys still have healthcare while you're in school. Some of you may still be on your parents' plans, but some of the highest insurance rates are among young people, and it's getting harder and harder to find a job that's going to provide you with health care. And a lot of you right now feel like you're invincible, so you don't worry about it. But let me tell you, when you hit 48, you start realizing things start breaking down a little bit. And the insurance companies continue to ration health care based on who's sick and who's healthy, on who can pay and who can't pay. That's the status quo in America, and it is a status quo that is unsustainable for this country. We can't have a system that works better for the insurance companies than it does for the American people.
All right, that's a little bit of President Obama talking to some students today, selling health care. You could hear what he had to say there. Actually, his comments were pretty funny about getting older and the status quo. I don't disagree as far as insurance premiums and the ridiculousness of 39% hike in a premium by Blue Cross Blue Shield, Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield in Cali and some of the other crazy stories we've heard. But the problem is you can take those high points and you can sell it, you can preach it, and we're all on board with that. It's when you get down to the nitty-gritty of what the bill in the Senate and the bill in the House really, really represent. Here we are again at that same place we keep coming back to, America. How are you? Kate Delaney. And we're going to zig and zag all over the place, not just health care, but we will start with health care, including the fact that another one bites the dust. Somebody who was going to, a Democrat who was going to vote against health care reform in the current version anyway, says that this is typical of this administration. They do whatever they can to get what they want. Now, having said that, the man I'm talking about is Congressman Eric Massa, who had to resign or felt like he had to resign amid all these claims that he sexually harassed a male staffer. What happened is he got a little bombed when he was at a staffer's wedding on New Year's Eve there with his wife and made a comment that was inappropriate. And that specifically has led to him deciding to resign since he was going to run anyway. But he says he was forced out at this point because he would have stuck around certainly for that vote on health care. He says that the sexual harassment, specifically the allegations, are not what they appear to be. It was what I said. He was just messing around at a very boozy party where his wife was with him when he grabbed an aide in jest and made a joke and then kind of tousled the guy's hair. So he was all over radio talking about it. And talking about now the fact that he's had to resign. He went a little bit further than that. He didn't care if he burned a bridge or not. He said that Rahm Emanuel is the son of the devil's spawn. Specifically, he said he's an individual who would sell his mother to get a vote. He would strap his kids to a front end of a steam locomotive. And when he was telling the story, and the reason he says he brought it up is he was in an argument with the chief of staff. They were both naked in the congressional gym showers, and Rahm Emanuel wouldn't let it go. He came up to him after he got out of the shower and just started pounding him in the chest, standing there naked, pounding him in the chest, yelling at him because he wasn't going to vote for the president's budget. And he went on to say, how awkward is it to have a political argument with a naked man? We could make a joke there, but we're going to leave it at that. So Massa bites the dust. He was going to vote against health care, but still the numbers don't add up yet in the House as to whether or not they're going to have enough. And, of course, in the Senate, they're looking for votes. They, being the Democrats, are looking for votes as well. It just shows you that what we know, there's a lot of arm twisting happening all over the place. And, I mean, that's the halls of Congress. What are the halls of Congress filled with? People who are making some pretty good do-re-mi to represent we the people, but are they really representing us? Are they really representing our best interests? That's what you have to ask yourself when you get a chance to vote in those midterm elections, because all the House is up and there are a bunch of Senate seats as well. We're seeing more people step aside for whatever reasons, whether they're resigning or retiring. And I think it's going to be real interesting in a non-presidential year to see what happens. Speaking of happenings, boy, we have heard nothing about immigration, whether it's illegal or not, in a very long time on a grand scale. But how about this story? There's this plan, and it's been talked about before, but now it's actually starting to take a little bit of shape in the Senate. All legal U.S. workers, including citizens and immigrants, would be issued an ID card with embedded information. So an ID card for workers. This is the heart of what they're talking about for this immigration plan. So under this plan, like I said, everybody would get this card. Everybody. And the idea is it's one of the steps toward the overhaul of immigration. That, you know, this is the road to go. Is this the first step in the road to amnesty or disaster? The bill is being led by Senators Chuck Schumer from New York and Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, one Republican, one Democrat. They're going to meet with the president sometime this week to update him on what's going on with the whole idea of the ID card. It's a biometric card. And Schumer says he believes it is the way to solve the immigration dilemma because it would directly answer concerns that after this legislation is signed, another wave of illegal immigrants would arrive if they can't get a job. It says they can't get a job when they come here because everybody would have that card. They wouldn't have a national. It's a national ID card. That's what it is. It's a biometric card, and it's a national, de facto, if you will, national ID card that would enable your government to track you to know what you're doing. That's what it would do. It would. And from that point of view, boy, I have a big problem with the privacy issue there. So you're talking about fingerprinting every American, and just to do the work situation, it would almost feel, I think, I don't know, certainly a little violating, more than a little violating, if they have these ID cards. I'm not for the ID card. You might be. What do you think, America? 800-259-5791.
We are now in 2010. Change is the buzzword. Politics are changing in the negative direction. How about positive change? Thousands of customers have experienced positive change. Yes, thousands. How? By logging on to GetTheTea.com. Thousands of people have lost weight or felt better or experienced extra energy just by drinking Life Change Tea. Now, that's why they called it Life Change Tea, because it changes your life for the positive. Life Change Tea's natural ingredients go to work on your body, cleansing harmful chemicals and toxins from your system, which makes you fat and lethargic. Do you want a life change? Log on and join the thousands. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Oh, and by the way, it tastes great. So call us right now. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is a proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Can you feel it? See it, even today. If you can't, then it doesn't matter anyway. You will never understand it, cause it happens to last. And it feels so good, it's like walking the glass. It's so cool, so hypnotizing. It's so groovy, it's out of sight. You can touch it, feel it, this is a treat. But it makes no difference, cause it's not.
Coming up, We Can Count. Before we get to We Can Count, you know, this is how we roll here in America tonight. It's a plethora of riches, so much to talk about. We feel like we want to talk about it all. So when you tune in, and you get a little of this, and it's like they said when I was growing up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. A little smattering of this, a smattering of that on the bagel. What do you want? So in talking about healthcare and the votes and the arm twisting and what I just mentioned about Congressman Massa, who, you know, got a little tipsy and a New York-y kind of way, made a crazy comment to one of his aides, and that's, he says it's the smokescreen for bringing him down, so he's like, forget about it, I'm resigning, but told the story of Rahm Emanuel, the White House chief of staff, just so trying to get in his face about the whole budget thing and then ultimately health care, that he's chasing around the congressional locker room naked. Oh, I didn't even want to think of that portrait. Planting what that possibly looks like. Ugh. Too much information. But it shows you the attack dogness, I guess, of Rahm Emanuel, which is why Barack Obama likes him. So here's the deal. There's a lot of cities in trouble. I wish we were talking more about jobs. I think a lot of the focus should be on jobs, but instead, because of all the heel dragging and nonsense that went on with healthcare reform, that's where it's at. It's all about, wow, this vote has to happen before Easter, and that's where the focus is. So in the meantime, there's a lot of cities getting just, I mean, they already have been slammed the last 2 years by foreclosures especially, and I think one of the worst. people listening to me in Michigan, you know what I'm talking about. If you go a little bit further up north to Detroit, and you think of what Detroit once was, I mean, hey, the automobile industry, and it still is, but boy, it has been some tough years for Michigan and especially for Detroit. So now, because there's so many like houses that were abandoned and falling apart, it's just a mess downtown. They're talking about what the thing to do in Detroit might be to draw up something completely different for all these burned out buildings and city blocks and boarded up windows, just a mess. That perhaps the thing to do would to go from kind of an urban, well, definitely an urban area to a semi-rural area. Can you imagine? So they're saying near downtown, they would have fruit trees and vegetable farms, and it would replace neighborhoods that are just awful. Those empty buildings, vacant lots, and just inverse the city. So it might seem like when you're driving through the city, you're like in the countryside, but at least you have green pockets. You have decent things to look at versus what Detroit looks like right now, which is not much. I mean, the city is, it's a shambles. So they're bulldozing all these neighborhoods, and what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to get lots of federal money to buy land. They're going to have to raise buildings. They're going to have to relocate people. I mean, this is a financially desperate, crippled city. They can't do this by themselves. This is a blue-collar city that, you know, is going to be uprooted if this all goes through, this way of thinking. Thousands of people would be booted. How many of those thousands of people are going to walk away from Detroit on their own and want to do it? I mean, Detroit was an industrial powerhouse. Motown, the wheel city. And you had, you know, single-story homes, two-story homes. If you've ever been to Detroit, you know what I'm talking about. So now it's just, you know, it couldn't be worse for the people there. Could not be worse. The empty houses, all of that. And I don't think it's a bad idea, but how they got to have the money in place. You have about 40 square miles of empty property in Detroit. And to put it in perspective, as somebody said to me, that's like the entire city of Youngstown, Ohio. But their budget deficit is terrible. It's like $300 million. And, of course, what's their tax base? So they're having trouble paying for police patrols and fire protection and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, they have on the books, they have 33,000 empty houses, 91,000 vacant residential lots. So what do you do? I like the idea of the inside out thing. Just make it more rural. Make it look good. But they have to have the money. And, you know, could we be bleeding anymore? And there are other places in this country that are also facing a dilemma similar to Detroit. They might not be Detroit, but they're facing tough times, and they have abandoned houses. And, you know, you could rank the areas, could make an argument, well, then they're going to have their hand out too. But you can't let Detroit stand the way it is. And it's too bad. As somebody who went to Detroit when it was a more thriving area, and certainly the surrounding areas were, it's just not a fun place. It really looks like a very desolate, desperate is the best way to describe it, existence for anybody who's still there. But, you know, to try to just push people out, you have to have some alternative to that. And if Detroit can do it, and they can do it successfully, who knows that might not happen in some other areas. You might see the same, you know, you might see the same thing in some other places that are struggling. But Detroit, probably the biggest of all those cities that would go, I think, in in that direction anyway. You know, speaking of autos, the latest with Toyota, an incident with a Prius in San Diego. Driver driving down the highway can't stop. In fact, is accelerating suddenly at speeds of 95 miles an hour. Calmly calls dispatch, chips to the rescue, and they find a way to kind of get him off to the side, and was on one of those steep upgrades, and they're yelling in the bullhorn, you know, pull or over the loudspeaker, pull the emergency brake and keep pressing on the brakes, pull the emergency brake. And so he's able to do that and finally able to stop. But what a scary moment. It happened in the afternoon at the height of that rush hour lunch traffic in San Diego. So nobody was hurt. The guy was scared to death, and he's driving a Prius, had no idea that anything was going on with his car. And at the same time, Toyota is telling people, hey, it's nothing to do with the electronics of this car, because people are bringing their cars in, and they're being told it's the electronics. They're being told that they can be fixed, and then they drive off, eventually come back in a couple of days or however long it takes, and then something happens to them. But the Prius thing is the latest scare. This guy, flat out, they could see, you know, the chips guys were trying to help him, and he didn't have any alternative other than to shove him over to the side of the road, and luckily they were able to get to him in time and do that. But I wonder how many people who drive Toyotas hear stories like this, and it makes them really want to ditch the car, get rid of the Toyota or whatever it is, the Camry, the Prius. And I hope this doesn't happen for the sake of, I was talking to somebody about this today, for the sake of the people who make their living on Toyota. It's not this Japanese cars, this fleet of cars, besides dealerships. It's people in the parts industry big time that make huge livings off of Toyota. So it has to be nightmarish when you hear this kind of stuff. So far, in my own little world, people that I know that drive Toyotas, I have friends that drive Fords and pickups and, you know, all kinds of cars and trucks. A lot of them will only buy American. But then I definitely have friends who swear by Toyotas, and they're not abandoning the Toyota brand. And if you notice the commercials, they're saying thanks for sticking by us and offering rebates. And, you know, if you sit in front of the tube for 10 minutes guarantee, you will see a Toyota commercial. So the question is, if you drive a Toyota, would you stick with the Toyota? 800-259-5791. Quickly, we'll meet you on the flip side.
Is it safe to breathe anymore? Crowded public places, global pandemics, and news reports of potential new strains of bacteria and viruses make you wonder. What if there was a germ-killing nasal spray that acted almost like hand sanitizer for your nose? There is. It's called Sinofresh Homeopathic Nasal Spray, and it's a proven germ killer. Sinofresh is a revolutionary doctor-recommended nasal spray that kills a broad spectrum of viruses, bacteria, molds, and fungi on contact in your nose. Sinofresh causes no drug interactions, no loss of smell, no rebound congestion, contains no alcohol, is non-habit forming, and is safe for daily use. Sinofresh must be a part of your family survival plan. Go to GCNlive.com now and click on the Sinofresh banner. The first 1,000 customers to click on the Sinofresh banner and purchase Sinofresh antiseptic nasal spray are instantly registered to win a free 24-bottle case. Go to GCNlive.com and click on Sinofresh. Breathe free. Breathe safe. Use Sinofresh. It works.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Great news for pure water lovers. The Big Berkey Water Filter is available once again. And stay tuned to hear about a valuable offer from Berkey Water Filters. Choosing the right water purification system can be a daunting task. That's why BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com shows you a cost and benefit comparison. The Berkey Water Filter is economical, with a single set of filters that can last for 5 to 10 years. Berkey Water Filters are healthy and far superior to other filtration systems. They remove harmful pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy chemicals like chlorine. And Berkey water filter systems are powerful enough to purify both treated and untreated water, like stagnant ponds. Get the gold standard in water filters at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. For a limited time, choose a free shower filter, fluoride filters, or two Sport Berkey bottles with every system purchase. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Details at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
In today's world, a product comes along that revolutionizes the way we live, work, and play.
MaxFit makes your hands go wow. MaxFit makes your hands go wow.
MaxFit Gloves is the next generation of Fin Glove technology.
It makes everything you do with your hands feel easier without losing the ability to touch and feel.
Wow!
Whether you're working in your garden, moving furniture, driving a car, or opening a jar, MaxFit has thousands of uses.
It helps the grip of arthritic hands.
It even helps me play my video games better.
Wow! From the moment you slip your hand into a MaxFit Glove, you'll experience the ultimate in grip, comfort, dexterity, and health.
MaxFit.
For more information on the next generation of Thin Glove technology, go to MaxFitGloves.com. That's M-A-X-F-I-T Gloves.com. And use the promo code RADIO to get a special deal.
Wow. MaxFit makes your hands go.
Wow.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now?
Here on America Tonight, let's go out to Jay, my man Jay in Kentucky. Hey, Jay, what's shaking? Jay.
What's going on?
Hey, man, I can hear you're cruising the highways and the byways.
Yeah, just on my way to Toyota, my daily routine.
I gotcha. Hey, that what's the buzz? I mean, honestly, what's the buzz from the people that you know? And I've said this, people making their living on the parts and all the other stuff. Are people worried or no, not really? They feel like people are going to stick with Toyotas.
I don't think that the people of Toyota are really that worried. I mean, it's just like any other car company that has recalls for safety features. But I do know this much. These newer Camrys, they have this encrypted key that they don't have to put in the ignition. They just kind of carry it with them.
Yeah.
And they can push, it'll automatically open their doors for them as they approach the car. They can push button start. But I do know several things about these cars. You cannot put it in neutral while you are accelerating in drive. It will not let you go into neutral. You cannot shut the car off because you have that key and there's no ignition switch. There's no kill switch.
Right.
But one thing you can do, and I know this for a fact, is these keys have a safety feature so your car can't get stolen. Let's say you get carjacked, you get ripped out of your car, and a thief goes speeding away. Once the key is so far away from the car, it shuts the car down.
Oh,
so
that's good.
These people, if they would, I know it's kind of hard to realize if you're accelerating out of control, but if it would save your life, if they just rolled their window down, tossed their key out the window,
right,
the car would shut off.
There you go. There's some good advice.
But I heard you kind of hitting on Detroit, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot, it's a lot worse there than you think. I used to run, before I moved down here, I ran parts for Chrysler, and I used to go up to Detroit Axle Plant three or four times a day out of Toledo, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I was running 150, 160 miles a year between Toledo and Detroit.
Mm.
That's a lot of driving right there.
No kidding.
And the roads are horrid. I mean, there's potholes that'll swallow a car. And just when you first come into Detroit, you cross the Rouge River Bridge. They have that dump right there on the river. And when that's wet, the whole town stinks. You know, it's just, and then free trade agreement, obviously, Wire Factory is going to stay open when they can hire out for a buck or two an hour in Mexico, you know.
Exactly.
We don't make anything in this country anymore.
How sad is that? I mean, what a sad state of affairs that people want jobs, and we had jobs, we just gave them away.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The politicians got their pockets lined, got their bonuses, and got this and get that, get elected because of certain situations. And they turn around and make the laws to benefit themselves and don't really look at the repercussions of what they've done.
Right.
I think the same thing's going on with the health care bill and these backroom deals. And I'm telling where the country's headed, to be honest with you. And I pray for everybody, especially those out of work. I know my wife's highly qualified to do many different things. And since we've moved to Tennessee, she's really been kind of looking for a decent job. And they're just not out there for the average people. And they talk about the unemployment rate's only like 10%. Well, the real unemployment rate's probably closer to 30% because they're taking into account all these fill-in jobs, temp jobs, you know, around Christmas time, people will hire someone for a couple months, you know, and then they're done with them. But and they look at these numbers, and they're so out of whack compared to what I see. But I do enjoy the show, and as long as my wife can't hear me because I did tell you you're my favorite nighttime lady. That probably didn't sound right. Hey,
Jay, that's
night.
Great. You too. Good insight from Jay. He says it's even worse than I thought. Last time that I've been to Detroit, it was pretty sad. I was there when it was awesome. And when I say awesome, a lot of good things to do, a lot of things happening. Went to see a Tigers ball game. You know, and then it's got the suburbs right there on the edge. And the suburbs still are fine, but the city itself and going through the city, I guess like Jay says, you wouldn't believe it. And, you know, I would based on some of the things they're saying and what they are talking about doing, taking some really drastic measures. Aaron in Kentucky, hello.
Hi, Kay. Long time no talk here, I guess.
Yeah, I'm glad that you called. What's going on in your neck of the woods, Aaron?
Well, you know, late night work and all that. That's the reason I'm up, I guess. I work at one of the factories there for Toyota, too. And I know you asked the question, you know, what do we think? Or just anybody that owns Toyota, mm-hmm. You know, what do you think about, you know, maybe buying another one or whatever? Well, I mean, in the past, you know, before I worked here, I owned Fords and Dodges and all that. I mean, I think I've had recalls on pretty much every vehicle I've ever had. So it was really nothing new as far as that goes. I mean, I'm sitting in my Corolla right now. I've got 238,000 miles on it. You know, it's paid off. It's an 03 model. You know, it gets me back and forth to work. And I've got a Sienna van, and, you know, and it does well for my family. My next vehicle, you know, I'm looking maybe at a Ford truck. But, you know, that's, of course, freedom of choice for, you know, whatever you're looking for, whatever you want to buy. But does it bother me? I mean, I hope it bothers the company enough to where they're, you know, they're wanting to fix or help fix whatever the problem is with these cars. And that's a good thing because they're trying to be a good corporate citizen and, you know, that's what they're supposed to do. I don't think that people should panic. I mean, you know, if that were the case, you know, I should have panicked on all the other recalls that I've ever had, you know, on every other car that I've ever owned. But, you know, I didn't. As long as the company tried to fix that, you know, tried to make it right, and, you know, and did the best they could, then I would feel good toward that company. You know, and plus, you know, I mean, these, all these companies here, you know, they employ Americans, and, you know, we have families, and, you know, everybody should understand, you know, we want the company to do well. So, you know, hopefully they'll, you know, America will try to be understanding, you know, that the company is trying to do the best it can.
Yeah, that's what I was concerned about. I was concerned about the jobs, and you're right. Let's face it, there, if you panicked every time there was a recall, you would be turning in a lot of different cars that you own.
Right.
But it's not, you don't want to see stories like the San Diego story. You don't want more and more of those, because if it really got out of control, you and I both know, Aaron, that people, then logic would just get thrown out the window. Then it would be, that's when it would set in, if you started to hear more, especially if there was more deaths. Now, there were deaths, but on the grand scale of thing, I mean, any death is too bad, but
right.
is not right. But on the grand scale of how many Toyotas are driven around and how many deaths are related to it, it's still relatively small. But if that were to flip around, then that's really where I think a lot of people would say, ah, forget it.
Well, yeah, that's where you gotta, you know, I mean, our company, you know, is not throwing any of our vendors under the bus.
You know,
we're not doing that. And I think that shows their commitment to the suppliers. And I think that, you know, because they know that suppliers, they have families and they need their jobs too, you know, but I think they're trying to work with everybody. And I think that is the main point is, you know, there is a problem. They're trying to find it, you know, they're trying to get it pinpointed. And then when that's done, because we don't want to, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't want to say, oh, yes, I definitely got to fix, you know, and then start having stuff still happen, you know, because then, you know, that does make your credibility look, you know, just out the window then. But I think it's important for everybody just to, you know, just to be patient and, you know, and make sure, you know, everybody should, you know, hold our company accountable that we're doing the best we can and that we continue to do the best we can. And I think that we'll come out of this, you know, stronger as long as, you know, I mean, we keep that commitment, you know, to that quality, to that safety. And, you know, like I said, I may buy, you know, a Ford or a Dodge or whatever, but, you know, I still am committed to this company. I want it to do well because, you know, I believe in what we're building because I helped build it.
Well said. Take care, Aaron. Good to hear from you. Thanks.
Okay, you take care.
Let's move from Aaron to Ann in Missouri. Hey, Ann.
Hey, top of the morning to you.
You too.
Hey, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Yes, I am. But I wonder if somebody from China is working in Toyota, in all of these Toyota places. You know, even though it's Toyota, our dealerships have to swallow the finances of this thing, the cost of getting all of this stuff repaired. You know,
sure.
Toyota wherever is not going to reimburse them.
Right.
And I just wonder if somebody's sabotaging this stuff, but it all seems to be happening at the same time.
Hey, who's to say that there wasn't anything going on? But I think the problem is you'd have to pinpoint all the areas, and it'd be pretty tough to do that. That's the thing. And what it is if it would have to be a series of faulty parts. And it's, you know what, Anne, it's not impossible that something like that could happen, but I think based on what we've seen and the recalls, since it's all over the map and from different areas, it'd be tough to nail that on, you know, China or somebody trying to knock off the competition. Although, I like where you're going with that. You're thinking outside of the box. Hey, it smells like a conspiracy to me. And thanks, Anne, and I'll tell you what, it would make for an interesting television movie, but I don't think so. In this case, I think it's a faulty part situation, and They're not saying electronics, but, man, I think electronics, when you look under the hood, is still part of it. We can count next.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
Did you rob Bill Gates? DidYouRobBillGates.com is a worldwide internet system that can bring you both immediate cash and long-term passive residual income, earning thousands of U.S. dollars every single week. This automated system works for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the planet, without inventory, shipping, billing, selling, or credit stress. Powerful and effective, our co-op marketing program works for us, and now it can work for you as well. DidYouRobBillGates.com is your global system for real success. Time to enjoy your life. Time to enjoy your family, travel, sports, fun. Bring the perks back to your life. Moms and dads worldwide, even those with zero experience, all plug in and watch in amazement as DidYouRobBillGates.com delivers success and abundance to their lives. Now, no matter where on earth you live, get to DidYouRobBillGates.com right now. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Lose 1 to 2 pounds a day the healthy way and keep it off with the help of the entire Real HCG diet. With an average weight loss of 1.5 to 2 pounds a day, you can be in that bikini or swimming suit in no time. You've heard of people spending over $700 for this exact same diet at doctor's offices? Now you can start the entire HCG diet for under $100. YourHCG.com is the largest HCG reseller in the entire country, and we want to help you. We have helped thousands of people shed unwanted weight, so call YourHCG.com today. No prescription required. No doctor visit required. No painful injections. With every purchase, we'll provide you with everything you need, including your supply of HCG, unlimited one-on-one phone and email support from one of our amazing health coaches, in addition to a large list of menus, diets, and much more. Visit www.yourhcg.com or call us at 877-748-2709 to order your HCG today. Again, that's 877-748-2709 at yourhcg.com. We love you.
Tonight, you know, everything ultimately is about numbers. It's like when I say follow the money. How about this one? They were money. UConn, 71st straight win. It sets a woman's record. So the number one Huskies outlasted the Fightin' Irish Notre Dame. They reached the Big East tourney semifinals. Yeah, some big numbers. 59-44. Supposedly it was a pretty fun game to watch. But the 71st straight win, could that be bigger for those UConn ladies, the Huskies? Apparently they didn't gloat. You know, their coach, Gene Auriemma, he is like the hardest working man in hoop, I'm telling you. I had a chance to talk to him a couple of different times, and he has the best attitude. He's really a taskmaster. He probably wasn't celebrating very much. It's just, okay, on to the next game. Woohoo! Great, we won. Time to move on. 71, that's great, that's fabulous, but we have a job to do here. And their big goal is to move on to the national title game and win again. And that would be their seventh national title if they could do that, but they're far from, at this point, they're very far from that whole big dance thing and all that other sort of stuff. Man, that's just an amazing, amazing record. Congratulations to the Lady Huskies at UConn. Good stuff. Okay, as we continue with We Can Count, were you watching the Oscars or no way? Who cares about awards shows? But somebody does. I said this before, 41.3 million people tuned in to watch. It's the most watched Academy Award telecast since 2005. They say viewership was up 14% over last year. That's according to the Nielsen company. They keep the ratings. And the trend is for bigger audiences for major events on television. That seems to be where we're headed after the Super Bowl set a mark for the most watched telecast ever. The Oscars also had some big numbers, too. Well, you know, the whole entertainment industry in general and people following celebrities is big, particularly for the younger set. So that's probably going to grow even bigger. It's interesting because the audience was up from the 36.3 mil who saw Slumdog Millionaire. People forget they won that picture won Best Picture last year. And 32 million, Oscar's smallest audience on record in 2008. So if you go back to that and you go back to 2005, Million Dollar Baby was the big winner. Remember that movie? That was a pretty, you know what, it was predictable, but it was a pretty good movie. Hilary Swank, boxing, Clint Eastwood, ringing a bell with anyone. I liked that movie, actually. Yeah, it was good. Morgan Freeman, mm-hmm. And there, I guess, in 2005, 42 million people were watching. I'm just saying, somebody's paying attention. They have to be. Well, pay attention to this, since we're on We Can Count. How would you feel about Congress taking a 5% pay cut? Woohoo! Especially when you wait to see if I tell you what they make, if you didn't hear me talking about this before. There is a Congresswoman, Ann Kirkpatrick. She's a Democrat from Arizona, and she's brought together some legislation. She's pulled it together, and it's bipartisan, and there are like 27 people who are on board with it, so that's a far cry from the numbers you need. But the last pay cut was 77 years ago. She's suggesting let's take pay cuts, about 5%. If we do it and it kicks in 2011, it would save $4.66 million a year. So check this out. Did you know that your congressperson, man or woman, is making $174,000? I bet you had no clue. I mean, I have to say, usually I keep up with those kind of things, but for some reason, you know, I haven't thought about it in a while, and the numbers I had from before were so way off. I didn't realize that it was 174 at this point. All right, get ready for, sadly, a sad number. In Turkey, they're saying now the death toll stands so far, and it's looking like it's going to stand at 51. Small town in Turkey, there was hit by an earthquake, and I've seen the shots of the village, and it just looks like piles of stone and stick and you have lots of earthquake survivors that are in tents and they're huddled around bonfires in the eastern part of Turkey, and it's still winter and pretty cold there. You had a terrible earthquake that rocked this Kurdish village, which is where is it? Akular, Turkey is the name of the town. And it happened over the weekend, 6.0 magnitude, 4:30 in the morning, 4:30 a.m., in a very, very remote, small village. So, unfortunately, people were killed in this, and other people were actually rescued. And that's always the silver lining, when you have people frantically digging with shovels and their bare hands to try to dig out some people, and they were able to do that, and they were able to rescue some people, and that's the good news. And there are 34 people also that were treated for injuries, but the death toll there anyway is at 51. This on the heels of Chile, which they had an incredible earthquake, 8.8, and the loss of life there. And, of course, I don't have to tell you about Haiti, which now seems like a lifetime ago because of these other quakes that have happened in the wake of that. Well, I don't know how many of you listening have ever been in an earthquake, but nothing scarier. No warning, all of a sudden. And the quake I was in was nothing, comparatively speaking, because I was inside a building, and it was that just weird one-second deal where the chair, like, rolled and somebody yells earthquake and people are ducking. Nothing flew off the walls or any of that. There was just a shift in chairs, and you could feel the shift in the floor. And it was just done in an instant. All of a sudden, poof, it happens, and you're just trying to hang on, kind of, and then it's over. But not when you're close to that epicenter. It's a much different story. The whole obesity thing, you know, it really, honestly, do you think people are going to get skinny if you tax the crap out of soda and pizza? They're talking about an 18% hike. And they're saying that by taxing, putting an 18% tax on pizza and pop, that people will lose an average of 5 pounds a year because you're not going to want to pay that money. So it's a weapon in the fight against obesity, which, according to the Archives of Internal Medicine, cost the United States about $147 billion a year in health costs. But, I mean, really, honestly, do you think that it's going to, somebody who is obese, by taxing pizza, just these things, pizzas like pizza and soda, that's going to wipe out the problem? I'm going to say it's not going to. I don't know. In Philadelphia, they're talking about the same thing. And in California, they're talking about doing this. So with two-thirds of Americans either overweight or obese, you're increasingly looking, they being the policymakers, at taxing as a way to address problems of obesity on the population level. Now, just so you know, to arrive at these numbers, the research that was done included looking at the diets and the health of almost 5,200 young adults from 18 to 30, and they did this from an extensive period of time, from 85 to 2006. So they were comparing the calorie consumed from soda and from pizza, and if you would just tax that, that would, they came up with the 5 pounds per person. I'm never eating pizza again because I'm going to have to pay an 18% tax. What about if you just went and got your own ingredients at the store and made, I call it poor people's pizza. What if you just made your own poor people's pizza? Ha ha. You could do it. You could. I mean, they can't tax all the ingredients, I would think. Trust me, where there's a will, there's a way. So, I don't know. Frankly, I don't like the idea because I just don't think it solves the problem. I'm going to leave you with this one. It was Aristotle who said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit."